Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello and greetings, everybody. We are live and local in your backyard here in Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. No Chris today. Rick Church on the other side of the glass with the ones and twos. We're here from 2 to 6 right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We got a lot to do. Jeff Nixon from Stony Brook will be in studio for the 4 o'clock hour. We will talk a lot about the U.S. Open with him here. By the way, Scott Pierce is your winner. Well, that's what I really want to know. Both of you were injured the last time we were all together. We'll have updates on the U.S. Open. Rick Horrell, our business insider, will be with us. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Again, that is also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow us at Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me at Twitter at CraigESPN, at Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. I don't know if we're going to come out with the song music from Taps or what, but I know all of our audience is tuning in right now to find out the well-being of one Pete Shepherd. Pete, are you okay after last night's Game 7?
I really expected some Laura Branigan and Gloria from you guys. That's the St. Louis Blues theme song. No, hey, here's what it is, and you just look at it rationally and logically, not like some over-the-top Yahoo fan. This guy sucks, and you suck, and he sucks, and we all suck, and everything sucks. No, it's not quite that simple. I know a lot of Bruins fans are thinking that, and people in other sports think that way, too, when the team. The bottom line is this. The only controversy I have or upset about is Jordan Binnington, to me, should have won the Conn Smythe Trophy for the MVP of the playoffs. That's all. Now, certainly, Ryan O'Reilly is deserved. He had 23 points. He's right up there with the best ever. I get it. But for Jordan Binnington to do what he did, and you heard Mick Colagio yesterday, and this was a guy that was on loan playing for the Providence Bruins last year, the AHL affiliate of Boston, on loan, and they treated him like very well. They actually talked about it last night. This guy, what he did in the first two periods, standing on his head, I mean, it's the Bruins had all the momentum. This guy just played out of his mind, and they deserved it. That's what happens. The Bruins did the same thing in 2011 when they won in Vancouver. Vancouver took it to them in the first period, but the Bruins had the lead. The shots were at one, but the shots were, they had one shot on net with like 2.5 minutes to go. Yeah. In the first period, the Blues did.
Yeah.
And then they scored. And then they scored with 7.9 seconds left. You can talk about Brad Marchand making somewhat, I don't think it was an egregious error on the line change.
Explain that to me. He left the ice on a line change, and it opened up his guy, and it led to an immediate goal. Explain that to me.
Well, he slowed. He was Marchand was absolutely gassed at that point. So he also slowed down. I forget the other winger's name. He slowed his man down. It just was unfortunate. People are going to finger point. I think it's really nitpicking. He was gassed. It was an unfortunate set of circumstances. I think the story of the game, a few of them, the biggest one is Jordan Binnington and what he did, some of the great saves that he made last night on the Bruins, just stymied them. And they had some.
Some were great, some were luck. The one that got caught in his jersey, luck.
Yeah, but there were more great saves than luck.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Absolutely. It wasn't like Tuukka Rask played poorly last night. I mean, does he play a little better? Yeah, but I'm not going to sit there and blame him. They had a chance to be up like 3-0 in the first period, or at least have 3 goals in the first period.
Well, I want to talk about that.
And Petrangelo, you know, scoring with 8 seconds to go after the, you know, after the Marchand is that was a killer. And you just got the feel. It was one of those games where you saw when a team has so many opportunities and is stymied by a goalie like that, and you know. I knew it. I saw it coming. I said, geez, St. Louis is going to score, and this is going to – one goal might be enough.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt that after what I saw in the first period, they go, or before they scored their first goal, before O'Reilly scored the first goal, I said, man, one might be enough tonight.
So St. Louis wins 4-1 over Boston in Game 7 to win the Stanley Cup, first one in their team history. And this, you described it pretty well throughout the whole game. This is what I was trying to convey to Mick Colaggio yesterday, and he disagreed with me. I said overall, and I'm not saying the entire seven games, but I'm saying overall throughout the series, the eyeball test, I thought Boston was the better team, the more aggressive team, the more shots on goal. That certainly was the case. The entire first quarter was on the right half of the first period. I'm sorry. Thank you. The first period was all in front of the St. Louis goal. And again, Bennington did a fantastic job.
First two is 15-5 shots on net in favor of the Bruins with 14 minutes to go in the second period. And they were down 2-0.
So
it's hockey. It happens.
I'd say more than half of this series, though. That's how the series felt. Boston, attack.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Game two.
Some games were blowouts. Some were close. I get it. But overall, that was just my observation. And I got to give Bennington credit. That was an awesome job last night.
I think if you go back, I mean, you look at game two. You look at, I mean, this team, the Blues team, won three games at the Garden. They won game two, they won game five, they won game seven. Okay.
You got to take a couple of that.
Absolutely. Game two, they were absolutely the better team, the Blues. Game one, yeah, the Bruins were a little bit better. Game two, no doubt the Blues were the better team. They were more physical, no question. Now, the game went to overtime. People forget that, but they were in overtime, it was no contest. It was 4.5 minutes in. It was all St. Louis. We talked about it the day after. Bruins were gassed for whatever. They had no shot in overtime in that game. They needed to win in regulation. That was all Blues. So they definitely get the mark there. And then game three, you get 7-2 in game four. They come right. Game three, the Blues won that one too, right? I think. And then game four was a 7-2 game.
Yeah.
They come back to Boston. They win. The Blues do a very, very pivotal game five. Then the Bruins go and win nicely, a 5-1 win. Again, the 7-2 and the 5-1 makes it sound like they were blowouts, and they were not blowouts until the very end. So right. The score is a little deceiving.
Some empty net goals.
Yeah, I think overall, Craig, I think it was a pretty evenly matched series. I mean, the one play, people are going to remember the Achari hit that wasn't called, and still that did not guarantee the Bruins would have tied the game on the power play, but certainly they had game momentum. People are going to look at that. But it's, you know what? It's game seven. You're at home. You're expected to win. And you didn't. And it's not because of lack of effort. And to people out there that are talking about how this team, had no effort, or they choked, or any of that stuff.
It's just utter
nonsense. You want to talk about 2010? When you're up 3-0 on the Philadelphia Flyers in 2010, when Tuukka first got the starting job, and then you're up 3-0 in the third period against the Philadelphia Flyers in Game 7. It's bad enough that you blew a 3-0 lead, but now you're up 3-0 Game 7 and you lose. That could be considered maybe a choke if you want to look at it that way. This was not a choke. And I don't care. You could take the names off the jerseys and just if you just saw the games being played. That's not a choke job by the Bruins. That's being disrespectful to St. Louis by saying that.
I never once thought there was any lack of effort. I mean, that's the cool thing about hockey at this level. There's never lack of effort. I've seen some NBA games where I can say, yeah, lack of effort. Absolutely. Yeah. You rarely see that in hockey.
No, and so people are talking about choked, and it's not so much wrong, but I've seen some of the tweets and some of the, thank God, these are the days that you know, you have to deal with drunks at, you know, with overnight shows into the wee hours of the morning. Win or lose, it's not really compelling radio because everybody's bleep-faced, and it's just like, we're great, or you suck. And it's the rationale is out the window. But, hey, tip your hat to the Blues. I love little 11-year-old Layla Anderson on the ice afterwards. That was really cool.
That was cool.
So I got no problem. And so congratulations to Coach Berube and Ryan O'Reilly and Jordan Bennington. And also Zach Sanford, who's from New Hampshire, on the Blues. Grew up a big Bruins fan, played at Boston College, and he scored last night in the third period. So, you know, it had bittersweet for him, I'm sure. But, hey, the Blues won their first cup, their only cup, first time in 50 years.
Well, and I don't think you can make enough about the fact that I believe in January they had the worst record in hockey.
It's the sports story of the year. And I'm sorry if people don't.
Berube comes in. They bring in Bennington. Yep. I mean, I can't think of a comparable story in sports where somebody was in last place or worst record in the league halfway through a season and then wins the championship.
Think about that. Compare it to the NBA. And I know it's different sports, but look at it.
It would be like the Phoenix Suns.
It would be like the Knicks. You know,
midway through the
dead
season,
dead last, yeah. And then somehow got the 8th seed, and then made it all the way, and won the finals.
Incredible.
Over Golden State, say.
Absolutely incredible.
So anyway, so I tip my hat to the Blues. It was a physical series. I thought they were a little cheap at times, but look, there was nothing wrong with Game 7 last night at all. I told you there'd be hardly any penalties. How many were there? One?
Yeah.
There's one.
There weren't very many power plays in that game,
no
doubt.
There's one penalty in the first period. Pareko for a two-minute for that, put the delay game, and that was it.
Now, Vegas looking ahead already to 2020. The Tampa Bay Lightning are your clubhouse leader as favorites at 6-1.
Not surprising.
Boston at 10-1, Colorado 10-1, Toronto 10-1 as well. St. Louis 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
Still no respect. All right, Pete Shepard, what would you do if you get now when you win the Stanley Cup, you get the cup.
Yep.
For is it a couple days or
I mean, sometimes
is it
a week.
One day?
No, you get it for like a week.
Okay. So they all share it. They all do weird things. They put their babies in it. They urinate in it. They drink out of it. They do whatever they do.
I don't know if they urinate it now, but there are a lot of things that cup's been through over the years. There's a lot of books out about the Stanley Cup. It's quite funny, actually.
What would you do if you had – clearly, you'd bring it in here. And by the way, you and I learned simultaneously before the show today, the Stanley Cup has actually been a few feet from where we are sitting right now. It has been in this building before we were ever here, about 10 years ago.
Stan across the hall was telling us back in the early 2000s they wheeled it in. There's a guy here who's in charge of the cup. Now, when the players have it, you don't have to wear the white gloves or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a free
So what would you do? Would you just kind of have a little gathering?
I would have all my friends over and just have a drink out of it.
I can't think of anything like exuberant or exciting I would do. I would have a gathering. Maybe I'd tie it into a promotion for this radio show. Come see the Stanley Cup. I don't know what I would do that was fancy or crazy.
No, I wouldn't do it. Out of respect for it, I would just have some friends over, take pictures with it. I've been lucky enough to be around it. Not only when the Bruins won, but another time as well, way back.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's good to play.
I'd like to hear from our listeners what they would do with it if they could have the Stanley Cup.
I think most people would have a drink out of it. That's the thing, have a drink. But I know babies have been baptized in that thing, and people have bathed in that thing. Yes, you go hot. Well, I mean, partially, you know, it's. I cannot tell you. All I know is I would sanitize it as soon as I got it. White gloves, no white gloves. I don't care what kind of case it's in. If it's guarded, I'm washing it.
All right, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. What would you do if you had the Stanley Cup for a week? Rick Church, you're from Minnesota. You must have a liking toward hockey. What would you do if you had the cup for a week?
Yeah, you and Dino Cicerelli hanging out.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would think so.
Yeah.
I was one of the few kids in Minnesota who was not a huge hockey fan. But
wow.
Really?
He's like me growing up in Detroit. I mean, how did that happen? I don't know.
Well, part of it was, you know, the Minnesota North Stars leaving in 1991 left a lot of bitter hockey fans in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, you came from a great college area in Duluth, so I know you still follow them.
Yep.
Beat my Friars this year. Won the whole thing again. Yeah.
What would I do with the Stanley Cup? I don't know. Put some
chips and dip,
queso
maybe?
In it. You know?
Chips and dip, queso. I like it.
Pete would eat chowder out of it. Yeah, that's not bad.
Let's see who else. Nick in the Cape said I would eat a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch out of it. All right, that's going big.
6'3" said it's a couple need a bath in the holy water after I was done with it. There have been baptisms from the Stanley Cup.
239, I would throw it on the boat and take a grouper fishing.
That's not bad.
Can you imagine the pictures? You know, everybody takes a picture of their big catch of the day. Yep. How about your big catch of the day with the Stanley Cup on your boat?
Absolutely.
That would be a cool photo op.
Minnesota says I would have, for one, would drink out of it, Bob, for apples out of it, and strap it up and carry it around like a backpack for a week.
That's cool.
I think the Stanley Cup weighs, I believe, 34.5 pounds, I believe.
They just exchange circles, sections, if you will, because every once in a while, I mean, there's so many, you can't have them all on there, so they put them in the Hall of Fame Museum, and if you notice, the bottom ring was pretty smooth and clean. It's ready for some new names to be etched on there.
But Bruins outshot the Blues last night, 33-20. As I said, at the 14-minute mark, they had outshot them 15-5 and were down 2-0. And there's no question, Jordan Binnington was, to me, the Conn Smythe winner. Not that Ryan O'Reilly wasn't deserving of it.
I kind of agreed with you on
not
that.
Not Ryan wasn't. It was deserving of it. He had 23 points. That's a lot of points in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I just think those early saves that Binnington made in the first period of half, I mean, that was just killer. Absolute killer.
Jason from Naples said he'd make a bong out of it. All right, great, Jason. 239 says he'd make a huge margarita.
Just for an ashtray, for a nice cigar, I guess.
One other observation by me, and I'm sure you as well, unless you were with a crowd of people, but...
I was with a crowd of
people.
Okay,
then maybe you didn't hear
NBC. The volume was up loud.
Afterwards, so many F-bombs. Every player dropped an F-bomb, blinking A, they grabbed, and to the point where they had to go to commercial break, and when they came back with an apology at NBC and informed the audience that that microphone down on that camera on the ice had been turned off, and apologies for... Yeah. There must have been 8 F-bombs on NBC
all the
last
time.
Night.
They're
incredible.
Used to doing it. I'm surprised that it took them that long. But not
well,
not,
with NBA games, they're on a slight delay because you can hear the audio drop out from time to time when a player swears.
Yep. So, and I'm surprised that they weren't on delay. If they were, then somebody's not paying attention. But you got to expect that.
I know.
In any venue in a Game 7 or a championship game, I don't care who's playing, men, women, or whatever, you're going to expect some swearing.
I got you, man.
But anyway.
All right, we'll continue to take your texts and phone calls on what you would do with the cup.
I would fill it with cocktail sauce and spread shrimp around the rim. That's a good idea, too.
Yeah. Of course, roses and bedroom guy says I'd fill it with roses and, when the
girlfriend
came
home.
That's his go-to move. That's, put some roses in it. Exactly. All right, so any of your thoughts on last night with the Stanley Cup? It was certainly an interesting series, to say the least.
The game did a higher rating in St. Louis than the Super Bowl did, because there's still a lot of Rams fans there from when St. Louis played there. Yeah.
What did it get, like
41.
A 50? Oh,
41. And the Super Bowl got a 39.8.
That's incredible.
In St. Louis, yep.
Yeah. All right, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. So we go from a Game 7 in hockey last night for a championship. We may have another champion crowned tonight. Game 6 in Golden State against the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors who blew a primo opportunity in Game 5 to win it. Now, going to be interesting tonight to see what happens.
I'm all in on this. I'm fascinated by this game, and I really want to see how mentally tough the Raptors are now after what happened at home. Because I've questioned their mental. So far, they've proved me wrong overall. Although last night, or the 2 nights ago, they kind of proved me right. They should have closed out that game.
Well, here's what I think about the mental toughness of the Raptors.
That timeout, Craig, I still think we're going to be talking about if they lose this series, everybody's going to be going to circle that play, because that was a game changer.
But there are two different Raptors teams, Pete, in my opinion. There's the mental toughness of most of the team. Like, I think the Kyle Lowry's and company is susceptible to nerves and choking. And then there's Kawhi Leonard, who I have complete faith in.
I totally agree.
He will not choke. Will the team around him choke?
About Siakam. It's Gasol's, those guys. Even Van Vliet, those guys, they got to step it up. And on the Warriors' side, knowing that KD's not going to be there, now are they going to be? I don't know. Are they even going to be more relaxed? I mean, all I know is that Boogie Cousins and Draymond Green, I expect them to play better. I thought Cousins and Draymond Green almost had a triple double. Missed it by 2 assists,
right,
but only 10 points. Very similar to I think Game 2. So I think Draymond's going to have a hell of a game tonight. Just has to be careful of technicals, because one more and he's out.
He's out for Game 7.
That's huge.
He's out for Game
7. So you know the Raptors are
going
to try to provoke him. I'm sure he's aware of that. And Boogie Cousins has to be better down the stretch than he was in Game 5, even though they bailed him out.
Yeah.
He almost cost him that game.
Yeah.
The way he played.
Yeah,
a couple turnovers, goaltending, one was questionable.
Yeah.
But.
All right, so what are your thoughts on that game tonight? 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. We'll take your phone calls on that. Either up for grabs tonight. We'll get into a little bit of Kevin Durant. We know that he actually went ahead and had surgery yesterday, and it has been announced that he will indeed be out for the year next year. So there's no, hey, I'll sign, I'll try and get ready by March and April and get ready for the playoffs, like kind of like Boogie Cousins did. Durant is gone. You will not see him in the NBA next year. Question is, who's going to own his contract rights? What happens now?
Absolutely.
Again, a max deal, if he stays, is $250 million dollars, with a big question mark coming off an Achilles and ruining your, not ruining, but certainly challenging your athleticism from that point for the rest of your career.
I think someone's going to do it. I think the Knicks would still do it. I'm not sure about the Nets. But we shall see. There's a lot of questions we'll get into. And we'd be remiss. The U.S. Open, obviously, is underway at Pebble Beach. So here you go. We're going to be doing a lot. Jeff Nixon's going to be in studio at 4 o'clock for the full hour. Scott Piercy's on top of the United States right now at 5-under, two-stroke lead over Sepp Straka from the United States. How have I never – have you heard of Sepp Straka? Should
no.
I know Sepp Straka?
No, I have not.
It's an awesome name, by the
it's
way.
It's pretty good.
It's the United States. It sounds like a hockey name. Sepp Straka.
We got a cluster at 3-under. Yeah, in fact, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, yep. DeChambeau, Woodland, mm-hmm. all at 3-under, two strokes back
and
by
Nick
Piercy.
Hardy, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we're going to keep an eye on that. We've got it on here. It looks like an overcast, calm day out at Pebble Beach today. Tiger Woods,
509
our time.
Koepka at 447.
Ah.
So we will have wall-to-wall coverage all day and keep you abreast of the situation. But, yes, Sepp Straka.
Yeah. Keep an eye on that. Now, I will tell you, Pete Shepard, as you know, we have Wikipedia. Where we stump Pete Shepard in our 4 o'clock hour. It's our most popular game that we do. Today, the trivia will be U.S. Open, and that could be a tough trivia
that's tough.
Category.
I mean,
we're setting the course up tough today, like the USGA.
Yeah,
okay,
you are
one correct answer.
The flag,
may win.
The flag is way in the back.
Yeah,
you know, over two bunkers, and it's going to take excellent pin placement.
I didn't mean to make them hard, but they just I was stealing some questions on the internet. There were multiple choice, and I removed the multiple choice and just had the correct. And I said, "Wow, this looks hard."
So I don't know if I'll get this advantage, but since Jeff is going to be here for the full hour and at Wikipedia, we're going to do a special. You can phone a friend, phone a Jeff.
Phone a caddy.
Phone a caddy.
He can caddy for you on an answer if he has the correct answer.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
But I don't get that option.
No. Well, I was thinking about offering it for you and one phone a friend for each of you.
All right.
For some. All right, let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. Austin in Fort Myers wants to talk some NBA hoops. Austin, welcome. How are you?
What's up, Austin?
What's going on, guys? So last week I called and I asked, no matter what happens in the finals, where do you guys think KD will end up?
Yes.
And you guys said no matter what happens in this finals, KD is going to the Knicks. Now, I have a question. Do you think now that Kevin Durant is injured, do you think he thinks about staying in Golden State, taking the 31.5 player option and staying?
I read yesterday that KD will only opt in as a last resort. Because he still has an option of opting out and signing a 2-year deal for $40 million a year. He won't play. He won't get $31 million.
Or 4 years for $146 million.
Right. I mean, he's a lot of options. So that's the last resort. Now, if I did say he's going to the Knicks last week, this week I'm kind of feeling the Nets.
It wasn't you. It was I guess your name's confused. I think it was Pete.
Yeah, it probably was. But here's the thing. I still think I would put them ahead of Brooklyn only because Dolan is an idiot, and he is so desperate to do anything to make that team relevant. And if I don't know if you want to see a funny page today, Austin, if you're on Twitter or even on social media, Google the New York Daily News. The front page has Durant sitting on, you know, grasping his leg, and it says, "Knicks lose game 5. So it's just, I mean, that's where they're at. So Dolan is going to do anything and everything possible to try to get him.
But Austin, I will tell you this. I still think whether it's New York or New Jersey, I still think it's a package deal with Kyrie Irving.
I did the same thing.
I think it's still a package deal with Kyrie Irving, who, by the way, fired his agent after all these years. He's now signed with Jay-Z. And
I think he's definitely going to Brooklyn, Kyrie.
Yeah.
And maybe he knows something, and maybe Kyrie has something in place with KD saying, "Hey, come join me over here," kind of a secret.
I mean, we did see them talking together during the All-Star break.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be nice to have 31.5 as a last resort?
Yeah, exactly. That's a nice option with an injured leg. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. All right, Austin, thanks for listening.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Austin.
It. All right, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776, 239 texting in. Fort Myers was the sixth highest market in ratings for Game 7 of hockey. We're a hockey bed down here, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot.
I watched every minute of
hockey.
It.
There's a lot of people down here from the Northeast and the Midwest, and not to mention you got Tampa Bay Lightning fans that are, I mean, Game 7, you're going to get interest in games. If this was a sweep, say, by either team, different story. But Game 7, you're going to get interest.
No doubt. All right, when we come back, more updates from the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. And Pete, I want to run something by you on NFL replay where I think we are headed. Florio with an interesting piece today.
He was angry this morning.
Pro Football Talk. Yes, he was. So we'll take care of all that. Sound Street at the end of the hour. More post-game reaction from last night's Game 7. Stay with us. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Thursday. Got Rick Church spinning the stacks of wax on the other side. Chris is out the next 2 days. We will keep an eye on the U.S. Open, but before we do, we asked a question in the first segment. What would you do with the Stanley Cup for a day or a week if you could have it? People have been texting it in, various modes of parties. One guy from the 239 said, I would dress like a woman and stroll on the town with Lord Stanley. I have renamed him Crossdresser until further notice. I don't know about that. It's a little different, I must say.
And Jason from Naples says, you don't have to discuss it on the air, but do you think...
but we will.
FSU will be able to ride that victory wave into the championship game at the College World Series. I feel like they're playing with a little extra oomph since it's 11th Mike Martin's final year. And the Animals of Section B, yes, I know they are, will be there. There's a little video. Yes, I know all about the Animals. And they play tomorrow at... or Saturday, I should say, at 3 o'clock. Against Arkansas, I think, right?
All right.
Yeah, against Arkansas, yes. And two locals that went to Christmas High School from Canterbury. Carter Smith is the first baseman, the starter, and Cooper Swanson's on the team as well. So, yes, I do think the Seminoles are certainly – you got to be rooting. They're definitely the sentimental favorite. I mean, Martin, after that win against LSU, maybe the toughest environment in all of college baseball to play, or one of, to do what they did and to beat them there twice in the walk-off – single that they had in that game was just outstanding by Drew Mendoza. So, go Noles. Good luck to them. I hope they win the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yep. James and Lehigh texting in, I would have them serve my beer in the Stanley Cup as I play poker at the dog track. Thank you. By the way, we'll be out there on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. So come join us out there. Interesting question from the 239. Do you guys think the Southwest Florida will ever get a professional sports team considering the TV ratings in Fort Myers for various sports? No, right. It's just too small. It really is.
I don't know where you would – first of all, where are they going to play? What sport? Where are you going to play?
Rick, what's the most that Hertz Arena can hold? Is it about 11,000, 12,000?
I don't even know if it's that for a hockey game.
You need to double that.
For a concert, you might
get more. Yeah, for a concert, because you got the floor seats, seating.
Yeah.
But I think an Everblades game sell, it's like around 7 or 8.
Yeah, okay. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so no facilities and not enough population to draw from, plus a seasonal population.
You're not going to get, not professional baseball. I mean, FGCU does, they draw good crowds. Sometimes they play at JetBlue.
Right.
We're not playing, but I just don't. It's I'd love.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Somehow to have a college football team, Division I down here, that would be fantastic. But it's just not. It's not going to happen.
Joey Button's texting in. I chucked 14 Miller Lights out of it. All right. Don't drive. All right. So I wanted to run something by you here. I saw with Mike Florio in Pro Football Talk. As you know, the NFL owners gave the competition committee the right to review the instant replay use and pass interference and how we're going to fix this problem so what happened in the NFC Championship game never happens again. Basically, here nothing's been done yet, so don't worry. But here's where they're leaning, according to sources. There will be a replay official, and that replay official will apply a higher standard for determining when to activate automatic replay review in cases of offensive or defensive pass interference, whether they are called or not called on the field. But here's the kicker. So far, I think we're okay.
Yeah.
They will only be able to make their decisions at full speed with the naked eye. And if they want to go to replay, it has to be in full speed. They cannot break it down film by film, Zapruder film style.
This is before they send it to New York. That has to happen. So think about that.
And I know, and I guess I'll play devil's advocate. I know the reason they're doing that is because, as we've mentioned on the show, you can look at any play and either find pass interference or not. I mean, there's always hand slapping and all that kind of stuff in slow motion, you know, behind it. They're taking something that could be very simple, and they're making it overly complicated again. That's my opinion on this. What was Florio saying about this?
Well, no, it was like that too. But look, I don't think you need slow motion replay to see the egregious non-call last year in the Rams-Saints game. You don't need any replay. You can find out a full. I had no problem with that. You know, you don't need replay for that. Clearly was horrific that no call was made. But now, as you said, basically the replay official becomes the primary gatekeeper for automatic replay review of pass interference.
I'm okay with that.
And before the replay official sends the play to New York for a full-blown review regarding whether the video contains clear and obvious evidence of a mistake, the replay official must preliminarily conclude that clear and obvious evidence of mistake exists based only on the real-time play or full-speed review of it. Now, if we're talking about what happened in the Saints-Ram games, I got no problem with it because any knucklehead could see, except for the referee that was looking right at the play.
Two referees were looking right at it, that there was a
penalty and it wasn't called. Now, the slip and super slow-mo and all that stuff could, I guess, come into play. Here's the thing. Maybe we're talking about two different things here. The super slow-mo is always an effect on not so much the egregious plays. It's the ones that the, you know, bang-bang plays.
The ticky-tack plays in the corner of the end zone.
The 2 feet in bounds, that kind of thing. So I'm a little confused as to what he's talking about here. I mean, we talking about the egregious calls, that non-calls? That's what I'm talking about. I got no problem if that's what this is going to be used for, full speed. No problem with it because you shouldn't need, if it's that bad, you don't need super slow-mo, right?
I would think so. I would think you're right about that. So we're going to have a problem with the play. We're going to have a replay official go up to his booth, to his assistant. They're going to look at it at full speed. Then they send it to New York for the final call. I mean, how long is that going to take?
This approach limits the number of stoppages for replay review while also providing the element that was missing in the Rams-Saints game. Someone who can act on a clear and obvious error made by the on-field officials when a blatant incident of pass interference occurred. It also protects NFL Senior Vice President of Officiating Al Riveron from NFL Senior VP Officiating Al Riveron, restricting the situations in which he would be scrutinized every nook and cranny of the screen for evidence that the ruling on the field had been incorrect. And then it says those situations may still happen if and when a coach throws the red challenge flag. But those situations won't happen in situations where automatic review is available. But this is the other part of this. The approach also makes irrelevant the question of when and if Hail Mary plays will be subject to replay review. As the source explained it to Mike, separate Hail Mary rules become necessary only if replay review at the end of the first half or at the end of the game is driven by the red flag challenge mechanism. The procedure for initiating automatic replay review will apply to all passes thrown during the windows for automatic review. If on a Hail Mary pass, the replay official sees clear and obvious evidence of a blown call or a non-call of pass interference, the replay official will call for a full-blown replay review.
Now, that's dangerous because you can find offensive and defensive interference on every Hail Mary pass ever thrown.
And some of them, though, are real bad. Some of them we saw last year, a couple guys get knocked down at the 10-yard line. I understand guys are going to get flattened in the end zone. I can see that. But I think what they're looking at here is the guys who never even get a chance to get to the end zone that get flattened before they even, 10 yards before. So it is going to, and those are the ones I think are also going to be full, not super slow-mo, right? They're going to be full speed, I think.
I'm a little, I got to tell you, I'm a little fuzzy on
it. I am too.
I mean, we do this for a living. I'm a little fuzzy on this.
So I said, basically, the NFL will be adopting the video official, the guy in the sky judge, concept for pass interference instead of talking directly to the referee. However, the video official, the sky judge, i.e. the replay official, will alert Al Riveron, as to an egregious OPI or DPI, that's offensive or defensive pass interference, call or non-call. Riveron then will review the visual evidence, and if the mistake is clear and obvious, fix the ruling on the field. And then last paragraph, he may not be the perfect solution, but it's the best one the NFL has identified to date. The last 2 minutes of either half won't entail multiple replay reviews, and protection will be put in place for those situations where a defensive back wipes out a receiver and the on-field officials fail to see it. But my problem is going to be this. I go back to the last thing, that the video official, the sky judge, will alert Al Riveron to an egregious OPI or DPI call or non-call. Riveron then will review the visual evidence, and if the mistake is clear and obvious, fix the ruling on the field. Why do I get the feeling that he'll somehow screw that up? Don't you?
Absolutely. I'm sitting here while you're telling me this. I'm picturing in my head Joe Buck being confused on a play and sending it to, you know, and we're watching this happen on live TV.
If it's that obvious, you know, if it's that obvious, Al Riveron should take about 10 seconds and say, no, you blew it.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I wonder if he is going to be, doesn't want to embarrass anybody. This is what I worry about, officials embarrassing other officials.
Yeah.
The same old thing.
Right.
It's like coaches don't want to talk about other coaches.
Right. Absolutely. I thought of that too.
It's something in the back of my mind always. Because what if it's a real bad crew and they're having a real crappy day, where it's like three horrific calls missed? And I wonder, like on the third time, is he going to give cut him a break? And that could affect the game, too. So that's the stuff I worry about.
I do, too. I'm sorry. Football's too important. You got to get it right. I'm going to share some text with you for the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Touche check again from your Knowles comment. He says, go Knowles.
Yeah.
Chef Alex on what he would do with the Stanley Cup. I would eat a big bowl of soup out of the Stanley Cup. Jake from State Farm says, I would take the Stanley Cup into a 7-Eleven and on Bring Your Own Cup Day and fill it with a Slurpee. Faith with three sad smiley faces. She's been promoting the Bruins all along. And Life Goals checking in. New pass interference ruling is dumb as hell. What's not dumb is how much better the show is without Chris. And then he said, just kidding. Show is great regardless.
We miss Chris. No, the first part's right. No, we're just kidding. We miss Chris.
All right. When we come back, Sound Street post-game reaction from Stanley Cup, the Stanley Cup Final Game 7. We'll get into all that. Maybe a little NFL sound if we have time for that as well. I want to remind you that in the 4 o'clock hour, Jeff Nixon, the head golf pro at Stony Brook Golf Club, will join us. And, of course, he's our co-host on Sunday mornings here on 99.3 ESPN for Play Golf Southwest Florida. We'll talk some U.S. Open. We'll give you an update on the leaderboard as well. So a lot to do as we head into a Game 6 of an NBA Finals tonight. A lot going on. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Scheman and Shepherd.
All right, let's go back in time. Last night, Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals. It was already 1-0 St. Louis after they went 14 minutes without even having a shot on goal. They got another quick one with 8 seconds to go in the first period on NBC.
Bergeron there, wedged off by Tarasenko. Pinching back in again is Grizzly. Duels there, puck came loose. Dealt on, but can be played now as Marchand was coming to the bench. It's thrown along by Schwartz. Schwartz able to take it, dropped it on back now. Around in front, score! 7.9 to go in the period.
What a goal. Alex Pietrangelo, he's a big boy. They had some big defensemen back there. Great job by him.
I'm going to also say this. I know you've said it repeatedly. Mm-hmm. The play-by-play portion of the NBC broadcast of hockey is second to none.
No.
It's fantastic.
Mike Doc Emmerich is that's why he wins Emmys all the time, and he's just a humble guy. The whole crew. Like most hockey players, it's a very humbling, great pregame show that they did on NBC Sports Network and also on the NHL Network. A lot of friends that work at both networks. They're kind of combined. Sometimes you see some of them on the crossover a little bit. Some people do. Melrose is on everything. Sometimes he's live on two stations at once. He's on ESPN. He's on NHL Network. He's on NBC Sports Network. But last night in between period, the first and second period, I think Charles Barkley.
Barkley's right. Well, you know, this is an annual thing. He's been on like 3 years in a row. He's a hockey fan.
I like Charlie.
He's instant ratings. He says nothing. Yeah. And he says nothing twice. He always starts a sentence saying something, then mumbles, and then goes back to what he said the first and says, but I love him.
And the banner captain last night was Julian Edelman in a David Ortiz, a Red Sox jersey. So that was pretty cool.
Here's Jordan Binnington with one of his ridiculous saves last night on NBC.
Gathered up by a cherry save. Rebound in front. Oh!
That was the split he did and the right pad save. Achari, I couldn't believe it didn't go in. And then Nordstrom was right there for the rebound, and he got his right pad over there, blocked the post. It was the save of the night, one of the saves of the night.
Yep. All right, here's the final calls. The Blues win the Stanley Cup. You might want to take your headphones off for this. Go ahead.
No. 10 seconds to go. The longest wait for a first title any team in this league has had. For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
All right. Afterward, Binnington said he just did his job.
I just wanted to get the game going and, you know, same order of business, just trying to do my job and give the team a chance to win. And the boys were great getting goals tonight and taking advantage of the opportunities. So, you know, it's an incredible group of guys, and I'm very happy right now.
He sounds like he's 17 years old. How young is that guy? I mean, because he's just kind of getting his shot now. He's a youngster.
Oh, he's 22.
Wow. There you go. Tell
you exactly how old he is in a second.
All right. While you're looking it up.
25.
25?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paying his dues.
Yep.
Craig Berube, the head coach, says they finally turned it around this season when the team became selfless.
They put the team first, and that, you know, that's been a message for quite some time, and they've done a real good job of that, the players. They believe in it, and, you know, we're champs, but I think just that once they got that message and they started playing, you know, mid-December, we started to really pull it together. And obviously Binnington coming in and solidifying the goalie position, you know, we're a pretty good hockey team.
Meanwhile,
they were 15-18-4 for 34 points on January 2nd. Became the first team in the expansion era to sit last in the overall standings at any point after its 30th game and rebound and win the cup.
There you go. Bruce Cassidy saying his team is devastated.
It's an empty feeling. It's a long year. Someone had to win, someone had to lose, and we came out on the wrong side of it. It's not the way you picture it. It's as simple as that. So.
All right.
I've had friends that covered hockey and other teams up in that area for many, many years, and even through some of the heartbreaking Red Sox losses, and I know even a couple of the Patriot the losses they've had. Celtics as well. They said they have never, ever seen a locker room so distraught than that locker room after last night's game.
I had a feeling it was going to happen just the way I saw them leaving the ice, kind of looking back one last glance, and then just kind of, you know, one by one, they filed on off of the ice. So St. Louis is the Stanley Cup champion. I knew that Rick Church would be here today as the Minnesota representative of your Vikings. Here's some Kirk Cousins for you. Says he needs to will the Vikings to win.
Oh, God.
That's the reality of it. And I'm going to do all I can, control what I can control. And I think, you know, one thing I can do beyond just playing the best I can is to start really coaching and leading other people so that, you know, I can never walk off the field saying, hey, I did my part, but so-and-so didn't. That can't happen as a quarterback. You have to be bringing others along so that that isn't a point you're making at the end of a practice or a game. And so that's really what it's all about.
Okay. He also said so far, though, money says he's just a .500 quarterback.
I think the next level really is all about winning. You know, I'm pretty much a .500 quarterback in my career so far, and I don't think that's where you want to be, and that's not, you know, why you you know, are brought in or people are excited about you. So if I don't play well, if I don't have gaudy statistics, but we win multiple playoff games this year, the narrative will be I went to the next level. And I may not walk off the field every day feeling like I did, but if we win, that's the life of a quarterback, is you are at the next level. And if I have my best year yet in 2019, but we're 8-8, I didn't go to the next level.
I think he's right.
Yeah.
Well said, Kirk Cousins. Yep. Oh, you're in good hands there, Rick Church in Minnesota, with your $84 million of guaranteed money. Oh, let's stay in the division. Mitchell Trubisky speaking. I don't know if he's got a kicker on his team, but he likes being a Bear.
As long as I can play here in Chicago, I want to play this game as long as possible, and I want to do it as long as I can here in Chicago. So I think we're building something great here. I love the city. I love the fans. And I love where I live. I love coming to work at Hallett's Hall every day, and I love my teammates. So for me, it's just take it one day at a time and embrace the process. But that's the goal for sure.
Okay.
Right.
Very good.
Dogfight right down the stretch.
It's going to be the Lions all the way. When you talk about
it. It's going to go. That is going to be a dogfight. I will make this prediction. Uh-oh. Sticky pad. Every one of those teams will be in first place
at some point
throughout the season.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
In the division.
By the way, when we come back, my Lions and Patriots making a trade with you guys. Hey. We'll talk about that.
And now I'm going to give you. I am going to give you. Somebody brought in the top markets for the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm going to run down the top 10 markets.
It may surprise you.
It will absolutely surprise. Well, maybe not, but okay. It's very interesting.
And Trevor Lawrence speaketh from Clemson. He said something I like. I'll share that with you as well. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.